You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We are talking with CEOs from across the D.C. area about leadership. How are they making it in this current economic climate? And what are their plans for the future? What are they doing? And so we learn from them so that we ourselves can be better leaders. My bar is that I want to learn from them, so I know that you can as well. We also have the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards coming up, where you can nominate an individual or a business or even apply yourself. Categories include Business Leader of the Year and Leadership Business of the Year. We even have a newcomers category, Rising Business Leader of the Year, for an applicant who has never been, does not currently hold a position as a CEO or owner of a business. So find forms at leadersportfolio.com. Maybe you have a great client that you want to nominate. Because they show leadership skills. Our first guest in Studio Leaders Portfolio today, the CEO of Digital Management, Sunny Bajaj. Welcome, Sunny.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Now, Digital Management is located in Bethesda, Maryland, and it's an SBA-certified minority-owned small business and IT strategy and solutions company with over 100 employees and $15 million in revenue. So explain what you provide clients.
Sure. So we predominantly focus on the federal marketplace, IT strategy and solutions. We help a government undergoing transformation. So we like to help get them there and lead them. So a lot of system modernization, automating business processes, and overall consulting to help them transform their business to doing more with less.
Now, you grew up in the IT services business yourself.
That's correct.
Had you come from within the government ranks or just you'd done commercial, everything?
No, a little bit of both. Grew up in a federal contractor environment, and graduated college, worked in commercial, and back to federal. So a little mix of both.
What's different about the two sides?
Truthfully, I probably shouldn't admit it. The commercial's a little faster paced, but the federal has a lot of challenges you can help clients out with as well, so it can be rewarding and fun.
And you were recipient of Washington Smart CEO's Future 50 Inaugural Award. And so I'm going to ask you, what decision have you made that you think was a smart CEO decision that you've made?
Well, it's the intuitive one of hire the right people, hire a great team to surround you.
Are you still involved with actual hires? I said you have over 100 employees now, so it's getting harder, right, to talk to every new...
Absolutely. In fact, in mid-January alone, I think we'll be over 150 people. So it's getting harder as you grow the business to make sure you're still hiring the best and brightest talent.
Do you have any things you look for new that you know immediately they're going to fit with Digital Management?
Well, it's all part of building that corporate culture. So you have to hire the right people, not just people that are smart, but people that you know that can fit in your environment. So, for us, we're a little bit of fast paced. So get some people that are movers and shakers and really know how to help a team win.
Excellent. And you made the Inc. 5000 3 years in a row, hence the growth, the employee growth, et cetera. And I'm curious, we talk about the economic climate and how it's affecting people. And the CEOs or companies that have more in the federal government sector obviously are affected significantly less. But how still is it affecting you?
Sure. So even though the federal sector, the market's still growing, the competitive landscape's still growing as well. So it's affecting us because it's becoming very competitive in the landscape that we're in. A lot more companies that didn't traditionally focus on the federal sector are doing it. And then the second thing is this is a momentum business. And those people out there that are running companies in the federal market, it's really a business where you have to keep your momentum going to show that you can deliver on your services.
And so, you hit on something interesting. So you're seeing more kind of companies that probably are struggling with commercial only clients. Is that in the last 2 years you're starting to see them really enter the federal space?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of companies that didn't traditionally focus now have federal presences. And so they're trying to diversify their portfolio with commercial and federal mix.
Your background, you grew up in the IT services business. Both your parents ran successful IT services businesses. And I love this. You worked in the mailroom when you were 12. And I have to say that that I actually had a job like that. I grew up, I worked in both my parents' businesses, and my job was cleaning toilets. And then I eventually moved up to mail. So I passed and I got to the mailroom like you. So so my question is, what kind of lessons about leadership did you learn from when you were 12 working in mail?
Yeah, absolutely, Rebecca. You learn humility. When you're delivering mail for people, you realize, and as you grow up the ranks, I guess it didn't get any lower than mailroom until I found out that you were cleaning toilets. But, you really learn that, you lead by example. And, you know, no matter how successful the business gets or how powerful your position may be, you know, you don't forget the people that worked there with you and the jobs you were doing. And if you can keep that kind of attitude of treating all of your groups of people and constituencies with the same level of respect and deference, that goes to being a better leader.
Did you do you have a special affinity for your current mailroom person?
You know, we're not large enough yet that we have a dedicated mailroom person, but when we do, I probably will.
Get involved with that. So you, in that answer, kind of touched on a little bit about your leadership philosophy, but I'm going to ask you more directly to address that. What is your leadership philosophy?
Sure. Well, it's a few different fold. First, it is lead by example. You know, no matter how business big this company will get, and I hope I can grow it to the stars, I will always roll up my sleeves because people are watching, and it all starts from the top. Secondly, hire great people. You know, surround yourselves with a great team. Take great care of your people. And never forget what you're doing it for, what it's all about. In my case, it's about providing service to our customers. So making sure that everyone in the business knows that the customer always comes first.
And so how do you communicate to your employees? Do you do kind of quarterly meetings or?
Yeah, absolutely. We do a mixed bag of quarterly all-hands meetings. I do email syndications, every time we win a new program or there's some great news. Informal visits to project sites, you know, cater a pizza lunch for them. And then just I have an open door policy where people feel that no matter how many radio shows I'm interviewed on or magazines I'm in or how well the company's doing, I'm still very approachable and that their voice counts.
Excellent. What was the hardest lesson you've had to learn as CEO over the years?
Because it's a big town and it's a fast-paced business and there's a lot of competition, you really need to learn how to kind of get directly to the point sometimes. And so if you're a nice person by nature, it's kind of hard to put the business hat on and kind of dismiss people and cut to the chase. But so the toughest thing has been making, you know, the tough decisions and kind of not leading with my heart, or I'm inclined to sometimes, but with the business mind, learning to think like that.
So that's interesting. So good heart, and then you've had to over time learn. I mean, you've got the business skills down because you're running the business, but you had to be
well. Yeah. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have a good heart, but when you're running a business, you have to realize it is a business. So it's not about hiring friends and creating that environment. You know, it is all about production and results. So you have to always think with that in mind.
How many hours a week do you work?
Ooh, week, I don't know, but it probably averages at least 12 in the office and at least a few outside the office every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does it get harder?
I think that depends on the person. I can't tell you that I've found that exact balance yet of work and downtime. I really enjoy work, so I don't mind the camaraderie of being in the office and working side by side with folks. I truly love to just get engrossed in it and involved.
Excellent. And we were talking a little bit about how the landscape has gotten more competitive in the sector that you're in. Was that something you kind of anticipated, or did it kind of blindside you because of this economic climate?
Well, a little bit of both. Just historically, in this federal contract arena, there's been a lot more small business participation throughout the last 20, 25 years. So you see, as you hear a lot more of the success stories, that inspires people to go out and potentially make that entrepreneurial leap on their own. So there's been a lot more entrepreneurs out there and a lot more small businesses. But yes, the economic downturn did kind of provide a little bit of a surprise for, companies that normally didn't focus on that marketplace. You know, they saw the big contracts that are being let and said, hey, I want to try to play in this game too.
In the space within IT that you work in, what are some of the developments that the federal government are really picking up on right now?
Sure. Well, a few different fold. There's obviously a big push, if you read about it, towards virtualizing a lot of the infrastructure. So cloud computing, software as a service. Some of the biggest pushes I've seen have really been around system modernization and implementing tools like SharePoint, where you can have collaboration and transparency, and then leverage your investment in that tool to accomplish more for you with less. So, business intelligence and content management are sub-tools built into that agencies can now leverage the investments they've made So that's some of the things that we've seen.
Do you find that agencies are up to the same IT speed?
Oh, not at all. It's
very different.
Very different, mixed bag. It all goes back to each agency's culture and their drive from the top. A lot of our clients like to take the slow and steady, you know, approach and not really dive in and make super big investments without thinking it through. Other client agencies are more willing to take a leap of faith on some of the newer technologies and implement them.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I've heard that in the commercial side, people are taking a longer timeline to kind of implement new IT. It's going from 3 years to 4 years. Is the federal government kind of taking a longer timeline? So in terms of their IT equipment, they're not replacing certain software or applications or et cetera?
You know, historically that might have been the case, but I think now there's been more of an emphasis to modernize, you know, a lot of the platforms. I think, you know, you have this duality of a lot of federal workforce retiring and the knowledge going with that, and a lot of these old systems need to kind of be sunset. So it's a time for really upgrading both the human capital and the infrastructure on the federal side.
And on the federal side, are you finding that certain larger agencies are better at adapting than smaller agencies, or they don't move as quickly, so that's not necessarily true?
Well, it's on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
So a lot of the larger agencies are broken up into sub-agencies or components or operating units, and it depends if each of those has their own centralized or decentralized IT budgets and initiatives. I think as you see more of a push towards enterprise architecture and adapting, common roadmaps, you'll see more agencies start to leverage their investments a little bit better.
And what you're defined as small business. What point does the federal government not define you as that? What's
sure.
the cutoff?
Well, technically, the cutoff is 1,500 employees. So as long as your business is under 1,500 employees, you're considered small.
So you've got a long way to go.
I do, and hopefully I'll get there sooner rather than later.
Is that your goal, to surpass that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the sky's the limit. And, if you work hard and put together a good team and build a great reputation with your customers, I think you can really grow it fast.
Excellent. Well, we want to thank you, Sonny, for joining us. And before we leave, I've got to ask you, was your name Sonny foreshadowing? Are you an optimist?
Well, I don't know if it was foreshadowing or not, but, I am an optimist, and I just believe that if you work hard and you have the right team in place, you can accomplish all that you dream of.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rebecca.
CEO of Digital Management, Sonny Bajaj. Of course, you can find his bio, a link to his company, and his full interview at leadersportfolio.com. And I want to thank these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio: Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the leadership community in Washington, D.C., please consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We love new sponsors that are committed to leadership and teaching people how to be better leaders, how to make better decisions for folks. I'll be back with you after all this on Leaders Portfolio. Up next, Matthew Buchholz.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests, with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.